Welcome back to On the Block. I'm Madison McGee, your host, reality TV producer, and super fan of Big Brother. We've got a lot to unpack this week as we dive into what is another blindside by the Leftovers Alliance. But let's get into it. Monty is the HOH, which is great. We've got Terrence safe. We've got Joseph safe. And he nominates Alyssa and Indy for eviction. Now, this is kind of an interesting move because at this point in the game, we now have hindsight 2020. Kyle is very down for Alyssa to get out of this house. He doesn't seem that interested in the idea of a showmance. He doesn't really want anything to do with her in that way inside of the house. So her going home is almost better for his game, so he's not distracted. So everyone's fine if noms end up staying the same, if some weird thing happens with the veto and they stay on the block, Alyssa would go home and that's fine. So we see then Kyle and Daniel win the veto, which puts Kyle in an interesting position because he almost had to show his cards. He either had to leave nominations the same and Alyssa would go home, or he uses it so that Alyssa is safe. And we see this struggle, this back and forth throughout the week as we watch him try to decide if he wants to use the veto. Now, a conversation between Daniel and Monty leaves Daniel convinced that he must use the veto, while Monty was really just trying to throw him a bone. And we watch him, as people are starting to say, pooch himself by deciding he wants to use the veto. Alyssa and Indy come off the block, and his bestie in real life, not attached in the game, Nicole, goes up on the block next to Taylor. Now, Daniel and Nicole are convinced that they have the votes to keep Nicole in this house. And this is, they're convinced without talking to anyone first. They haven't really consolidated their votes. They haven't added up the numbers. They're just like, oh, we know we have the votes to stay. Everyone hates Taylor. Not realizing that that is in the past, bro. They don't hate Taylor anymore. They're all working with her, and you're kind of left out of it. And it's really interesting to watch their dynamic throughout the week not really shift at all. I mean, they are steadfast in the fact that Nicole is staying in the house. They think they have the votes. Nicole is just convinced. It's really weird. We then watch Nicole tell Indy, Alyssa, and Jasmine that she's a cop. Now, I don't understand this move at all. At this point, you've now told Terrence that you were a cop, who has told Joseph and Monty that you were a cop, who's probably told everyone else that you were a cop. Now the whole house knows. And she says it like it's this big secret, and they edit it like it was like a whole segment about it. It just seems really weird because at this point, it's like everyone knows. You're not really playing a stealth game anymore, like a Derek Lavasser or someone that maybe you were probably trying to play like, because people already know. And that was his thing, was that it was a secret. Same with Xavier last year. No one knew he was a lawyer. It's only useful if no one knows about it. And so it was interesting to watch her share that secret with other people. We then also have our segment about Kyle and Alyssa being in a showmance. It's weird. I don't really know exactly what to say about it other than it's weird because of just the shift in opinion about the showmance that Kyle has had. Alyssa's been very straightforward that she wants to be in a showmance with Kyle, but he's really gone back and forth. And I'm curious what Alyssa will think of that when she watches it when she gets home, if she'll be upset or if she'll just be fine with it. We also have this weird Twitterverse issue going on where it sounds like Alyssa maybe had a boyfriend, has a boyfriend. I'm not exactly sure what's going on there. So there's a lot to unpack that we just don't know a lot of information about yet. But as we see them get closer, maybe she'll open up more about her situationship at home with Kyle. I don't really know what's going to happen here. But unless Alyssa goes home pre-jury, she's not going to know for a long time that Kyle wanted her out of the house. And it's going to be really interesting to watch them have that conversation. So coming back to eviction night, we have Nicole and Taylor on the block. And it seems like at this point, it'll either be tied or it'll be just enough votes for Taylor to stay. And we watch one by one, Indy, Jasmine, Alyssa, go into the diary room and vote Nicole out. Now, this was a really interesting thing to watch because we didn't see this shift happen. They alluded to it a little bit in the episode, but even when we were watching on the live feeds, we saw a lot of Jasmine thinking that them trying to convince them being the leftovers, trying to convince everyone else to keep Taylor was a hoax. They were playing them. They still weren't sure. They don't know what's going on. And then we watched them very confidently vote Nicole out, knowing that they were on the right side of the house. It just seemed like there was something that happened that we maybe didn't see, that maybe we'll see on Sunday night's episode while the feeds were down today, that they got them to change their minds. And so Daniel is the only person who votes to keep Nicole. We didn't really get the grilling of Nicole that we were thinking we would from Julie about the treatment of Taylor. I don't know if there was just so much that happened this week that it fell to the wayside, but I'm really interested to see what some of these interviews, exit interviews, are going to be like. I have reached out to Nicole. Hopefully she will get back to me. But it's really, I'm really interested to see kind of her perspective now of what happened in that house and the distaste for Taylor from the beginning, and really her and Daniel just absolutely not liking her throughout the rest of the time in the house as other people were starting to change their opinions and their minds. It'll be really interesting to see that. So there's a lot that happened this week. There's a lot of lines that were drawn in the sand. Clearly now Daniel is on an island by himself. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I know who won the HOH, but I will not spoil it. If you do not watch the feeds and just listen to my podcast, that would be very strange. But we will see on Sunday. CBS is doing this new thing where they're waiting until Sunday to reveal who's the HOH. I guess that's a play to see if they can get people to keep watching the show, obviously, leaving that cliffhanger. But also it's just annoying because we love to know. And I love those live competitions. It's just so fun. There's just a lot going on. It's almost like we're hitting a point where we could see a steamroll. The leftovers could really just take it all the way to final seven. But there's a lot of game left to be played. The showmance really throws a wrench in everything. Kyle could turn on the leftovers sooner than he had anticipated. We just don't know what's going to happen. And we're, you know, expecting the unexpected. And this week could get really crazy with the bestie twist still intact. I'm not sure if that ends when jury begins. We've got one more week until jury. So who knows? There's just so many question marks left on the season. And we're really just at the beginning. Only four people are out of the house. We've got a lot of game left to play. And it's going to get really interesting. So my interview today is one that I am really excited about. Someone I've been trying to get on the podcast for a while. And it actually worked out better now to have her because she has a weird connection to our house guest Daniel this year. I have Rachel Swindler on the podcast. She's worked in similar circles as Daniel, doesn't know him directly, but she tells us all about that. And we talk about her time on BB20. We talk about her thoughts on this season. It's just a good time. So I hope that you enjoy this podcast in general, that you rate, like, review, subscribe, wherever you're listening. And this is my interview with Rachel Swindler. You obviously, it's been a minute, but not that long since you were on Big Brother. Like,
yeah,
this is the fourth season, or I guess three since technically four.
Yeah, it's been 4 years.
Wow. So
yeah,
you kind of have a unique position in that you were obviously on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But also, did you know Daniel, or he's in like your world?
Yeah. So I so my boyfriend is an Elvis tribute artist. So that's what's so funny about Daniel is that he is an Elvis tribute artist, or impersonator, whatever you like to say. It's really funny. A lot of impersonators don't like to be called impersonators. They like to be called tribute artists, because they feel impersonator is kind of like a Halloween type of thing, or just like they're just like putting on a costume, and tribute artist is you're paying tribute to that person. So that's what they like to be called. But anyways, in 2019, so a year, it was a couple months after I was on the show, I did a gig with my boyfriend at San Manuel Casino, which is in California. Do you know San Manuel Casino?
I don't think I do, no.
Okay, well, apparently it's another name. I don't know, but it's supposed to be San Manuel, and Brandon would always do a couple gigs there. Well, they had an Elvis contest there, and Daniel was one of the Elvises in it, and well, he was the best one out of the bunch, and he ended up winning. We scored him high, and he messaged me afterwards, and he was like, "Hey, like, thank you so much for, you know, basically, I really have been wanting recognition in this Elvis world, because it's a world, I'll tell you." And he just wanted some recognition, because I think he had only been doing it maybe, I don't know, a couple years.
Wow.
And he did Million Dollar Quartet, and my boyfriend did Million Dollar Quartet, so which is a Broadway show. But so they kind of had similarities there. But anyways, it was just really funny. Well, he had sent me that message. I literally never responded, and I felt really bad about it. But that's my connection with Daniel. And he shouted them out on the show tonight. There's a production company called Legends in Concert. That's the one that we have both worked for at different times, though. Like, I worked in the Vegas venue for 4 years, and then he worked there for a contract. So but it was like 2 years after I'd worked there. So that's how we kind of go in the same circles. So.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, because when I saw, I was literally a I was literally in a gynecologist's office. Not even kidding you. When I saw the cast list pop up, and I look at my phone and I go, "What?" And I like flipped out. I was like, somebody cast him because of me. I know it. Somebody said, like, no, I'm just kidding. But no, I did think that for a second. But I think the person that actually cast him wasn't on BD casting whenever I was on the show. But anyways, I was like, he filmed his opening package the same place I filmed mine.
Whoa.
Yeah. And when he's in there's like a studio he's in where he's doing his little Elvis moves or whatever. That's the same place, like, where I got my key and I was in my showgirl outfit. Like, that was literally the same place. So I was just,
oh my gosh, that's actually so crazy.
I know. And like, it's crazy how our worlds just kind of collided. So I don't even know if he lives in Vegas. I don't know if he lives in California or Vegas, but, cause I don't know him. Like, we never spent a lot of time together. We never sat and had a couple drinks together or, you know, really chatted, because we were never in the same show, but we just knew each other through kind of a circle.
Yeah, totally. I wonder if, like, when he was messaging you, he was hoping you'd respond so he could, like, ask you questions about Big Brother.
I'm sure. But the thing is, what was so crazy is even last night on the feeds, I saw him going, like, Tyler and Casey, like, talking about Tyler and Casey. And I'm like, why didn't he just talk to me about it? Like, I don't know. Maybe he felt weird. I don't know. But he never said to me that he was a super fan or anything. So that's why it kind of led me to believe. I was like, oh, is he a recruit? And then he told me then I heard last night he's auditioned 10 years.
Wow.
He's auditioned for 10 years in a row.
Jeez.
So I was like, oh, he been working.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So yeah. He obviously knew who you were.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I was like, why didn't you just, like, come on? Like, I don't care with that type of stuff. Like, I think it's, you know, kind of fun. And, you know, especially with somebody I know that's in the entertainment industry with me.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be like, yeah, like, whatever. But I also didn't respond to his first message. So that was he was probably like, ooh, okay.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. That leads me to ask, so like your thoughts on Daniel now. So obviously you have this interesting connection in the beginning. Like, we don't know these people. We're like, oh my God, we're rooting for this person based off of nothing more than like a few answers to questions. We're 4 weeks in. We've seen a lot from Daniel, feeds and episodes. What are your thoughts now?
Okay, so these are my thoughts, and I don't want anyone to like be like, you know, I think what people expect and what people want you to say is that he's a horrible person. He sucks. He's disrespectful. He's this. And yeah, he's done some very disrespectful things. I don't condone the behavior that, you know, the things that he has said to Taylor have been absolutely horrible. That whole segment that was displayed the other week, I was cringing. I put my head down. Like, I was just like, oh my God. It's just like, it's very hard to see somebody that you, I guess, kind of know throughout the industry, that is a huge super fan of the show, kind of crash and burn. Being a huge super fan myself, being in that house, like, I don't know. It's hard. I feel bad. Like, there's a part of me that feels bad because, like, I have empathy for literally everybody. That's just who I am. I have empathy for literally everybody. I will, like, I probably would dodge in front of a bullet for somebody I didn't know. Like, I'm just that type of person. And I also have empathy because I've been in there and I know how it is. Like, it is like high school. It is like working on a cruise ship or like working on, you know, and that was one thing whenever I was auditioning for the show, I'd be like, dude, I worked on a cruise ship. I've been in the entertainment industry. I know how petty and how like it can be like high school, you know, and that's what the Big Brother house is. It's just like high school. I mean, they did a season where it was literally the jocks and the nerds and the science or whatever they did. They did a season like that because that's how it is. So there's a part of me that cringes and goes, God, why is he doing this? And like, you know, going, you know, is this, how has he treated women in his past? If this is how he's treating Taylor, you know, it makes me go, you know, what kind of person is he? And, but then there's this also the side of me that goes, Taylor was never his target initially. It was never, her name never even popped up in his head or out of his mouth that first week. And then whenever Paloma and everybody else was, you know, kind of coming at him and saying, you know, she called me fat and she did this and she did that and she made fun of me and the way that I look and all that stuff. I mean, you know, it's like telephone. It's like, oh, like, Taylor's calling people fat. Taylor's calling people this. When, yes, you could just go to the source and talk to them. But a lot of the times I feel like in that house, when you go to you don't want things to like, I don't know, to spread. And then if you're trying to have loyalty with somebody else, you don't want to like say what somebody else has said to that person. So I don't know if that was maybe what he was thinking. Like, I'm not going to talk to Taylor because everybody's telling me this stuff and it must be true. Because everybody's telling me, because it was so many people. So I don't know, you would think somebody would go talk to somebody in that situation, but you know, sometimes in that house, if you might not want to talk to somebody because you're like, but I don't want them to know that I talked that this person said this to me. So I want to show loyalty because what if Taylor goes back to somebody else and says, Daniel came up to me and said this. And then Daniel, you know, is in a hot spot with these people that he's trying to be loyal to. I don't know. I'm just throwing out other situations. But I feel like Taylor was never a hit on his list. And then it just became that way because of everything he was fed during his HOH. And I kind of tweeted about this one time and then I deleted it because people were attacking me. So I was like, whatever. But, you know, I try to look at it from a point of view of the fact that I was in the house. It does suck because we do run in the same circles and You know, I don't condone what he has said to her because I feel like, you know, it's horrible and all of that jazz. But I also, you know, people need to remember that that house is just like high school. Rumors are flying and people are saying this and people are saying that. And, you know, I don't know. It's just, I look at it both ways. I try to look at it from both, from two different perspectives. But my thoughts on him now, sorry, that was very long-winded, but my thoughts on him now are just, you know, I hope that when he gets out of the house that, you know, he kind of looks back, learns from his behaviors and, you know, is able to take accountability for his actions and just grows from the situation and hopefully is not bitter or angry. And I don't want like this to be a negative impact on his life because it's really difficult after the show and from firsthand experience. So I came out to a rather, I'd say 80% warm welcome. He's going to come out to like a 10% warm welcome. So I worry, but I'm sure he'll be fine.
Yeah. So what was your experience like coming out? You were
fifth
out.
So if Daniel goes out this week, he'll be evicted. So my eviction anniversary, which I was reminded of, was actually yesterday. It was the third.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're about a week behind when we premiered. Because we premiered like right the last week of June and they premiered like the first week of July. So what happened after I was evicted?
What happened next?
Okay. So basically when I got evicted, like, you know, you get evicted, producers all come in and they go, oh my gosh, like, you know, they tell you basically what happened and why you were evicted. You know, they gas you up a little bit, you know, are very, very nice to you. Because they understand you're fragile. You're trying to piece together what happened. And I remember I went through emotions. Like, I went from saying like, oh my God, I love Big Brother. Like I totally understand, to being like, this is so fucked up. Like, you know, screw all of these people that screwed me over, screwed my alliance. I can't believe it. Like, I just went from being okay with it to not being okay with it. And it was like, it was a very difficult thing to deal with. And then you go with a security person, you go to a hotel, whatever they put you in, you do your interviews. Anyways, after that, the day after I was evicted, I was in the Los Angeles airport where they drop you off. They drop you off. It's just a driver, no relation to you. And then I just remember walking through the airport and just like being just a fish out of water, really. It's just very surreal. I was just trying to find wine. That was my main goal, was to find wine. So I was like trying to bolt to where I was going, my gate or whatever, and I had people stopping me. I probably had about three people stop me on the way to my gate, and they were like, wait, what? And so that was like really cool and really funny, was when they would stop you as you were walking to your gate and they were just like, wait, hold up a second, I'm like, why are you here? And I'm like, so last night's episode. So that's what's really crazy about being pre-jury, is that you were dropped off at the airport the day after. And so you could find people that have, I got recognized in a Target like a week later, and the person hadn't even watched the episode yet. So they were like, wait, hold up a second, I haven't even watched the episode yet. And I was like, yeah, I was like, no. About that. Yeah. So, it was really weird for me because like I kind of just, I left everything. Like I not left everything, but I, you know, you tie up all your loose ends. Like I was kind of renting from a friend. Like I was in an in-between kind of living situation at the time. And I purposely did that because I had a feeling I was going on the show. So I didn't want to pay that much rent while I was gone. I was trying to save as much money as possible. So when I got out, it was a very weird situation with me because I had to kind of go back to the house I was staying at, which we were close, but it was just, I was going through, it was very difficult for me. I was so upset because I wasn't ready. I was still in game mode I wanted to continue to play. So all these people were hounding me about, all right, well, what are you doing now? You know, I'm in the entertainment industry and I go back to Vegas and it's just like, I mean, you know, and it was really cool to see everybody that was cheering for me. And it was great to see all that. It was just very difficult for me because all I wanted to do was be back in that house and be playing a game. And on top of that, you have to see the things that your former house guests are saying about you. I had some, you know, unsavory things said about me, about like from my alliance members. And that was difficult to watch because people are tagging you on Twitter and, you know, you're also getting messages from people like, you know, saying, well, why did you say this in the house? And, you know, trying to, you know, threatening you. And I mean, like I said, I came out with a rather warm, like, reception. But it was definitely difficult to transition back into normal life. I couldn't get back into normal life until everybody was out of the house and I could, like, speak to people. So pre-jury, I'm sorry, it freaking sucks. No matter what anybody says, pre-jury sucks. Like, it really does suck. Like, I always feel for the people that get out pre-jury because I'm like, oh, it sucks. Like, because then you have to watch the rest of the season or hear about it. Again, people are tagging you. People are messaging you. And then you have so many regrets. You're like, oh, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. So anyways, and I've talked to people from Big Brother, like past house guests. It takes about a year to 2 years to kind of just detox from all of it, because, you know, then you're going to have people that are contacted for now. I mean, when I was on the show, people were getting, you know, there wasn't the MTV CBS merge right when I got off the show. It was still, we were under contract with CBS. So now even more, it's like, you've got the challenge, you got to challenge CBS. Like, you're going to have like all your fellow house guests be contacted for stuff that maybe you're not contacted for. So I feel like it's probably even worse now. So you got the young and the bold and the beautiful people, you know, it's just like, then you have to go through all of that. And it's just like, it's just a constant, like, wait, what is going on? Like, it's just crazy. But once you get your bearings though, it takes a minute, you know, to get out of the house. I mean, maybe some people adjust better than others. It was really hard for me to adjust back because I was such a huge fan and I just wanted to be in the house, you know. I was sleep, breathing it for, you know, 5 weeks and 5-6 weeks, and then it was like, oh, now I have to go back and gig in Las Vegas and do this and do that. And anyways, but it was actually what they say to do, and I agree with, you need to go back to your normal life and just reconnect with your friends and family. Like, you just need to do that. Like, I went off and did a contract like 3 months after the show. I went to Foxwoods, Connecticut and did a contract with a tribute show, the same one that me and Daniel have worked for. I went off and did that for a month and a half. And I got to tell you, it was like what I needed to just get away, because it was like isolated. I was like kind of off in this little island in Foxwoods, Connecticut. And I just had all my friends that I had performed with before. And that was, you know, I had purpose. It was really nice. But that was like the one thing that really just turned it for me, you know, because I was like, okay, I can just go back to what I was doing. Like, it's fine. It's fine. You don't need to know everything, Rachel. Like, you know, you just wonder what your next steps are, because after being on a very large platform like that, you're just like, oh, what do I do next? You know?
Yeah. Wow. That's, yeah, it's very disorienting, I'm sure, to be like in, kind of taken away from your normal life, put in this very unusual situation, and then it's like, okay, go back to doing what you were doing before. So crazy. So You're obviously very invested in this season, which I love to see. I love reading your
Yes, I
tweets.
am.
What are your, we've kind of talked about Daniel specifically, but what are your general thoughts on this season so far? We're 4 weeks in. We've had four people either get evicted or self-evict. So what are you, what are your thoughts thus far?
Yeah, so it's been actually really exciting watching the season, and like I said, I know you tried to get me on like last season. I just mentally wasn't invested in, I couldn't mentally invest in it. Like I was just so, but also it was BB23 as iconic and it has as monumental as it was one side dominating the entire time. So that can just get really boring. So this has just been exciting for me because it reminds me of my season and how exciting that was for me being in the house and being on the other side and knowing what was going on. Because like I'll never forget like Rockstar's daughter's birthday, like when that whole thing happened. And I knew about every blind side except for my own. But I knew what was going to happen every week. And that was what was so exciting about being in the house, was that because I knew what was going on, it was just like you knew you could just play with the other side and you could just like it was just so much fun. So I got it. So that's why like I love watching kind of the leftovers have their little moments of, being like, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to say that. And I have the speech prepared and I'm going to do this because they know what's going to happen. And that's what, like, all of Brett's speeches that he made, he knew what was going to happen. It wasn't that, he was, people aren't going out on limbs. They know what's going to happen. It's not like a last ditch effort to save themselves. It's just like I said, it just reminds me of my season. That's why I've been so invested. And then when I found out Daniel was on it, I was like, okay, well, now I know someone that's on it. So that's like, okay. And then I wasn't invested the first like 2 weeks because the whole Paloma stuff and all of that was just, it was just hard to watch. It was hard. It's always hard to see somebody isolated in the house and ostracized and when they don't get to play their full game for no reason really. And Taylor is very accurate in the things that she says when it comes to like if she says like she doesn't open up very quickly to others, you have to open up quickly in that house. Like you have to if you come off as a like I will give Angela that just to talk about Angela. Angela is an incredibly strong female that can come off, I feel like, very intimidating in the wrong way to people. And she really made a she was really great in the house to not making people feel that way. And I don't know, I guess Taylor's walk across the grass that first day is what people have said have rubbed them the wrong way. But I kind of look at Angela and Taylor as like kind of the same archetype, like very determined, confident individuals, and they get kind of misread by other people because of their confidence and because of their just knowing who they are, So when I see Taylor, God, no, I don't even know what the point of all that was, but yeah, it was just very hard for me to get in it because I see Taylor, and when she said like I wasn't able to play my full potential in this game and ostracized so quickly on, that was like it was very hard to watch because I can't imagine because oh sorry now I'm bringing it back like I said you have to open up very quickly in the house because alliances are forming day one and day two. Those are the critical days. Not maybe not day one but like day two, day three, you need to be figuring out who you're aligning with because that those are your ride or dies. Now this has been interesting because the leftovers formed, later on after post pack, because post pack would have dominated had, that, they had not realized that they were, there was a girls alliance. That whole girls alliance messed them up. Paloma set up all those people. They probably got a that girl. They're gonna be like so angry because she was the demise of all their games. But I don't remember the point of the question, but it's just, it's just very difficult in those first couple of days. If I were to ever play again, I would definitely try to align with a big group at the beginning, because I would be too paranoid and too scared if I didn't. Because if I was just like, you know what, like, I'm not going to, whatever. And then also, when anybody approaches you with an alliance in that house, you have to just take it, or just say you're going to take it, even if you're not going to take it. Like, there was a point, Rockstar and Caitlin had talked to all of us girls about a girls alliance, and I was just like, yeah, like, this is great, like, perfect, you know? I mean, it's just, but I had never any intention of holding it. But, it's worked out for Taylor, like I said, in her, like, I'm shocked that it's worked out this well. And I don't know if it's been DR manipulation or it's been, you know, actual, but, you know, I don't know if the DR is telling the other house guests, like, you know, what about the treatment of Taylor? Like, Taylor, you know what I'm saying? So they could start to get paranoid. And I don't know how the leftovers really formed. I wonder if it was a little bit of DR manipulation, but that's just me, because now I'm on Twitter and I've been on the show, so I know how it works. And so there's a part of me that's like, was it that? But what's happened is, it feels like it's kind of a rarity, but Taylor's going to have to really align herself properly with some other people going forward, to take out the four boys. So I'm hoping that she kind of, like, teams up with Indy and teams up, maybe, I don't know about Alyssa, just because with Kyle or whatever, but she needs to team up with Indy, team up with Jasmine, you know, to take them out. I'm trying to think at this point, it's like, who does she need? Like, she needs to get rid of Monty and she needs to get rid of Turner, you know, in order to kind of solidify her later on.
That's interesting. So you think that Turner wouldn't take Taylor to the end,
if given the choice? I think that from what I've read on Twitter, it's that you've got the four guys, the pound, and then you've got Michael and, because you've got Monty, Joseph, Turner, and maybe it's Michael. I don't know.
I think it's Kyle.
Kyle. That's it. Sorry. So those four. And then you've got Brittany and Michael. And Michael's already said that he wants Taylor. That he wants it to be him, Brittany, and Taylor. So she at least has those two on her side. So they're going to have to go after those four boys at one point. And I just don't know when that's going to happen. That's what's going to be interesting leading up to all of this, because they're only going to protect Taylor to a certain point, and then they're going to, you know, turn on her.
I've talked about this before on this podcast. Last year really addressed the inequality with Black contestants, but it did not address the sexism part of this conversation. And I'm curious if you think that's something that's going to be an issue again this year, because we obviously have Taylor in this alliance with these men who then might say, okay, now we've used you for what we've needed you for. And they're going to kind of tiff Taylor this year by getting her out. As soon as they hit, if they make it to Final Seven, which would be a miracle, she's first out. Do you think that's going to happen?
Either that, or they're going to go after Michael and Brittany to split up them as a duo if they're suspicious of them. Because we have to remember, Taylor is on an island by herself and she can be used to their advantage. So if they were smart, they would go after Michael and Brittany first, because Michael is going to win this game if they don't look out. So they should be using Taylor as far as they can. That's why I'm saying Taylor needs to make sure that she's getting out those men, that she's targeting them, because she needs to go after Monty, Turner, Kyle, and, you know, whatever. Not maybe not Joseph. I feel like you know, with Joseph, she can work with. But Monty and Turner, I feel like she's got to, and especially with Monty having a final two with Joseph, you know, you've got to, and she doesn't know that, but she's going to have to get, you know, one of those three out, Kyle. And especially if she gets rid of Kyle, Alyssa is closer to her, you know? So Taylor needs to position herself coming up in these next couple of weeks because she's being carried, you know, by these people to get to the point where she's at now. Thank God, you know, that they've realized the treatment of her and they've, you know, taken her on and they've decided to, you know, get her, you know, farther in the game. But this is where I want Taylor to, you know, be on, you know, stand up for herself and realize the position where she's at in the game and that, you know, Monty, Turner, and Kyle are three that we need to get this out. We need to break this up. So,
Interesting. Do you think Alyssa, Jasmine, and Indy would ever work with Taylor?
mean, at this point, anything's possible because I feel like we've seen the impossible because I didn't think Taylor would even get this far. You know, I never thought she would get this far. So we've seen the impossible happen, which I feel like a very powerful and pretty sturdy alliance got broken up in week two or three. I can't remember, but you know, I think anything's possible. I think if Taylor played her cards right, maybe she could. Because once you've had so many beatings in the house, you know, you've lost alliance member after alliance member after alliance member, you kind of get to the point where you're just like YOLO, like whatever fucking happens, happens. Like if I go home, I go home. Like, or if I make it, you know, whatever. So, you know, if they can stop villainizing her and stop looking at her like a villain and look at her as an asset, you know, I don't know if Jasmine can. But maybe I think there's hope for Alyssa because Alyssa, I think that a lot of her comments about Taylor were just jealousy when it comes to Kyle. And, you know, Alyssa's very young and, you know, quite possibly a little insecure. And that house will bring out your insecurities too, is what, you know, we have to remember. Like, at one point in the house, I thought I was like so ugly because nobody was like flirting with me or hit like you know like I mean I wasn't really attracted to any of the guys in the house. It was just like this weird thing, like you know, where you just you know sometimes you want to feel beautiful and it's you're just around these same people all the time and you know I can see how insecurities and you know comparisons can you know kind of stir up in your head whether you want them or not. So I feel like Alyssa's just now that she has Kyle, that maybe she'll not be as hard on Taylor and she can start to maybe get a closer bond with her. I think there's hope for Indy and Alyssa. I don't know if there's hope for Jasmine because I think
Yeah.
she's too jealous of her.
Yeah, that's interesting. Depending on who wins HOH tonight, which they didn't show, I'm kind of over this, like they're not
So
showing.
weird.
It's so weird, it's annoying. Who do you think is the next out the door?
So if Daniel doesn't win, it's definitely Daniel. I can't imagine a scenario where it's not. He decided to vote against the house. If I were him, I would not have done that. I would have definitely, you know, just been like, okay, well, I know Nicole's going home. Maybe, you know, talk to her, let her know, be like, you know, going forward, I have to position myself good and I can't vote against you. And I'm sure he, or I have to vote against you. And I'm sure that he probably felt some guilt, you know, of course. And he probably was like, you know, I want to give her a vote, which I totally understand. Who knows what in that situation, what I would have done, I maybe would have done the same thing, but. Game wise, I maybe that was more personal and more emotional, but I think game wise, that was not the right decision. Because as we saw, as the episode was cutting out, he's in another room, you know, talking smack kind of and just saying, like, you know, I just this game is I don't know. I thought he said trash, but I guess it was somebody said they thought he said tragedy. But he said, like, as a fan, this game is, and I thought he said trash. Someone said he might have said a tragedy, but to be determined, I don't know. But he was just ostracizing himself immediately over in the other room, and I would have maybe not done that. And, you know, kind of, but, you know, it's also hard. Like, I mean, he clearly feels alone. He was duped. Like, no one likes to be lied to like that. Like, he was duped. Like, I know what it feels like to be duped. Like, it sucks. It sucks to be blindsided like that. I mean, I guess they found out last night, because I like popped on the feeds at 3 a.m. and I was like, I was up really late. So, anyway, I popped on the feeds and I saw that they were talking about it and that they knew. And I was like, oh God, I was like, who ruined this? But anyways, I think Daniel's out the door if he does not win. And if he wins, I'm trying to think who he would put up. I think he'd put up Monty and Joseph and Terrence. So, but then they probably would vote Terrence. I mean, I don't know where the votes would lie, because you have Michael, Brittany, Taylor, and you have Jasmine, Indy. I don't know. I don't know all the people right now, so I can't think of it. But that's a little tricky, because Terrence could get voted out. So the other pair would be Michael and Brittany. So I think it's going to be, if Daniel wins, it's either Michael and Brittany up, or it's Joseph, Terrence, and Monty. But I mean, his best bet would be Michael and Brittany.
Yeah, that's actually interesting. And you kind of talked about this a little bit earlier with like the DR kind of manipulation.
Yeah.
I am a reality TV producer, so I know how that goes. So I'm curious, like, obviously Big Brother is kind of an interesting phenomenon in the reality TV world, because a lot of it is like, I call it the most real reality TV show that exists, because so much of it is organic, but there are parts that are, you know, it's TV. And that's just, every time I talk about this with someone, it's like, but at the end of the day, it's television, and you know, it is what it is. I always go back to the reference of BB15. Helen was pushed. It's obvious that Helen was pushed off the wall. We see it. We know.
So you think she was pushed?
Of course she was pushed.
Oh my God. Okay, that's insane. Yeah, and I mean, so, I thought so too, but
I'm curious, like, from your experience, like, as far as like your time in the DR, was there ever anything that you weren't thinking when you went into the DR and you left thinking something else? Because obviously that is maybe happening now. And that's their only chance, besides rigging competitions in whatever weird way. That's their only chance to really push a narrative for the show.
It's you know, before I try to think about my eviction week and what happened that week, because if there was any DR manipulation for me personally, I feel like it would have been that week. Because ahead of that, I'm pretty sure they wanted level six to kind of, I mean, I don't know. It seemed like level six was pretty well liked. And I never felt manipulated by the DR ever. I felt like they tried to get me to say lines that I didn't necessarily want to say. That I thought were corny or stupid. And I would be like, I don't really want to say that. And so I'd sit there for a second and I would try and come up with my own, because being in an entertainment industry background and an actress and stuff, like, I'm constantly thinking of, you know, different funny things. So I would sit there. I'd always be like, can you give me a second? Maybe let me think of something to say, because I don't really like that line, you know? Which they would let me do. I remember one time I got yelled at for singing or talking about, I can't remember. I was laughing. There was one time I got called in the DR. I literally got screamed at. Like, they were like, if you don't stop singing or talking about production, then you're going to get a penalty vote. And I was like, and they like yelled at me. And then I remember the next time I came back in, that producer apologized to me. And I don't remember exactly. I don't know. I just remember it being very mean. And I was like, Okay. And that was the only time I ever got reprimanded, because I was very good about everything I did. I always, because I know what it feels like to be on a production. So I was always trying to make sure I was making it easier for them. But like I said, there was never any time that I felt like they were manipulating me. I feel like they were trying. I feel like if anything, they were trying to, probably the week I was evicted, trying to get me to figure out that I was going to get evicted. I think they were trying to get me to campaign, because there was a point where I feel like they were like, so you're not going to campaign at all for any votes. And I'm like, no, like, I think I'm good. Like, so I'm pretty sure they said that to me then. Like I said, it's been 4 years, so I'm like trying to remember, but I'm pretty sure that they were trying to get me to campaign to stay, and I just wasn't getting it. Like I just, because had I known that I was, because I only talked to Sam, and she probably was my only hope to stay, because I only needed one more vote, because mine was a 5-6, and had, I think, or maybe it would have been tied then at that point, but probably been tied, and then Bailey would have had to break it, and she would have evicted Brett, in my opinion. So, because I do remember, like, right before the vote, what I was told was that Tyler and all of them went to Bailey and basically were like, we found this out about Rachel, and so we're evicting her. And so to cover their bases, you know, for the flip, which is what we've seen, what we saw with Amira. So it's kind of like you kind of construct something and, oh, well, I found out this like right before the vote. So I'm evicting this person because this is what I found out. So I remember that happening is there was a lot of like side talk of I had done something. And then I guess the only way that they turned Sam against me was that they said I was dirty and didn't clean up after myself or didn't do dishes and stuff. So then Sam was like, oh, okay, well, I'll vote her out. I was like,
Sam.
Okay. I was like, thanks, Sam. But Sam was my like only hope, because there was one point, it was the day that I was evicted. I remember I pulled Sam aside and I started talking to her, and I didn't talk much game with Sam because it was very scary to talk game with Sam because she didn't know what she was talking about. So I never wanted to give her too much information. So I remember like talking to her, I'm like, I hope you know I really want to stay, and I hope you know that I have your back and the cool stuff. And then she kind of like sat there for a second, and it looked like she was really like contemplating, and she like looks at me and she's like, well, why should I keep you, Rachel? Like, why should I keep you? And then I remember not fighting for myself as much as I should have, because I just thought that I had her vote. I thought I was staying. But had, and let me tell you, level 6 was very smart to not tell me that I was getting evicted, because had I known, oh, I would have been a nutbag. I would have fought for my vote between JC and Sam, because I would have been like, you need me here because we are an alliance and you're out of it. And if you keep me and you evict Brett, I'm on your side now, because now I know these idiots are against me. So I would have been able to leverage something against them in order to get JC, I mean, or Sam's vote. But again, because I didn't know, I wasn't able to kind of fight for myself, which sucks. Because that never happens, that people are that blindsided. But I mean, it does happen. But it was very astonishing how much of a secret they kept it. Because another thing, which I don't know if I've ever told this, I'm pretty sure I've told this on a podcast, but there was one, it was the day before I got evicted in the have not room. They had this little, the competition the next day for head of household was the gift competition. So they showed us a ton of gifts on the head of household, the memory with all our pictures on it. They had gifts popping up and we had to memorize them. And that was for the next day. I end up walking into, and we had to memorize them. And I was like talking to like Casey, and I was like, you know, trying to memorize it. And there was at one point I walked into the have not room, and my entire alliance was huddled together going over the gifts. And I walked in and I was like, oh, y'all are going over the gifts? And they were like, and literally everybody was like, yeah. And I didn't put two and two together that they didn't, like, they knew I was getting evicted. So they're like, oh, this fucking bitch walking in here. Like, I didn't even think to myself, but looking back on it, they were all very just like, okay. And then like went back to what they were doing. And I just kind of like stood there and was like trying to listen to what they were talking about. But there were a couple of moments I should have known, but again, I didn't pick up on. So,
oh my God, brutal.
Whatever. lasting regrets that will stay with you forever.
Are you still friends with anyone from your season?
Yeah, I'm friends with Caitlin. I talked to her probably the most out of anybody. Caitlin is still close with Bailey, so she kind of FaceTimed with her one day, and I actually had like a really long conversation with Bailey and her for like 3 hours, maybe like a month or so ago. Winston called me after the little level six reunion that happened in Los Angeles. Winston actually texted me and called me, and it was really sweet. He was like, oh, we missed you, and you know, just wanted to catch up really quick. Brett, we kind of just like each other's TikToks and here and there and on social media. And, you know, I interact with Scotty and Rockstar on Twitter, and I've messaged a couple times with Angela throughout, this season, just about the challenge and, just different stuff that we're both doing. Other than that, I don't talk to Steve. I don't talk to Sam. I don't, but Sam's nowhere to be found. I don't know if Sam was anywhere to be found, I would talk to her. I saw JC just moved. I commented there and told him I missed him. JC wants nothing to do with Big Brother anymore. But I love him. I mean, I will always love JC. He's a pain in my fucking ass, but he was during that time, and he always will be. But I truly, truly love him. And who else do we have that I haven't met? Casey, I saw at Hearts of Reality 2 years ago in 2020. Every time I see Casey, we kind of literally, we won't speak. And then when we see each other, it's like we've never been apart. That's just kind of how it is. And but yeah, consistently, Caitlin's the one I talk to the most. But I'm always liking and commenting and keeping up with everybody via social media, because, you know, it was a once in a lifetime experience. I'm a huge fan of the show, so it kind of just doesn't leave me. I guess that's, I'm like, am I forgetting anybody? Oh, I don't really talk to Haley that much, but I mean, again, it's social media stuff, liking people's stuff and everybody else. I'm like thinking, is there anybody else I'm not? Well, Swaggy, Bailey, I've said hi to him over the phone. But yeah, I mean, I wish everybody in my cast well, and I'm happy for everybody, and you know, I want everybody to be successful and live out their dreams and stuff. And we had a great cast, one of the fucking best casts ever, so sorry everybody, but we did. Just personality and overall wise, I remember there was a point I was in there and I was like looking around, I was like, this cast is really good. And I was like, I'm probably gonna get overshadowed now. I thought I was gonna come in here and be like, you know, da, 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 but now I was like, now there's just too many awesome people in this cast.
It was a really good cast. Like, yeah, it was really good.
Here's another hot take, actually. Nicole was my winner pick.
Really? I mean, she gave PC vibes from like the photo she and the did. Bio.
She did.
Yeah.
And that, I'm not gonna lie, that was one reason why. And also I was like, I knew she was a chef and she had the police background. We have the Derek background of him being a police officer and, you know, detective, and then we've got, you know, her being able to cook, and I'm like, she's the perfect storm. We've got the Casey vibes, we've got, you know, being able to relate to men and women. And I just thought she was the perfect winner pick. Clearly I was wrong. But she would have made it far had it not been for the post-pack flip, I do feel.
Yeah, I also, right before I let you go, she told everyone she was a police officer. And I was like, I mean, we watched her on this episode tonight pull Indy, Alyssa, and Jasmine into the room. She had already told Terrence. Terrence told Monty and Joseph. Like, everyone knows that she's a cop. So I think the play that Derek Levasseur had was that it was a secret. And, like, she was just telling everyone.
I mean, maybe it was because she told Terrence and she was like, oh, well, I know he's probably told everybody, so I need to tell them. But, I mean, again, I don't know why she went into that room and gave him this whole goodbye speech and, like, all this stuff. Like, again, you know, I say that, but again, I thought I was safe in the house. And so I have to remember, like, you don't know how it's going to play out. Like, I never in a million years would have thought I'd be on the block and not campaign for myself. You know, I thought there's no freaking way that would ever happen, but it happened. So again, expect the unexpected. It was going way too easy for me the first couple of weeks.
It's true. Like, you really don't know. I actually posted something today about, you know, we think Nicole's going home, but we know also to expect the unexpected. And someone was like, well, the unexpected is that Taylor goes home. And I'm like, yeah, but she's on the block. Like, it's possible. The eviction is live tonight. We don't know what they're going to say when they sit down in that chair. And we think it's Nicole and we have a feeling it's Nicole, but it could flip 5 minutes before. And until Taylor's off the block, I'm not going to think that she's safe because we just don't know. And it happens all the time. And it is, it's such a gamble. You just don't, I mean, until it's, Julie has said what the votes were, you just don't know.
You do not. Oh my gosh. I just still can't believe. It's just a crazy game. It's a crazy game. And again, everybody, you know, had I not been evicted the week I was evicted, it would have been easy sailing for me. I mean, what would have, let me, Angela won the HOH the week I was evicted. So it would have been, and it was like Angela HOH, then it was another level six member HOH. Then we had, anyways, it was just like, after I left, level six kept winning. And I was like, oh my God, I would have been literally. And I had Casey and Angela, and everybody told me they thought I had flipped. Like, they thought I wasn't with them anymore. They thought I was aligning with Bailey and all of them. And there was something Casey told me, she was like, there was something apparently I had said to her, which I only said that because I didn't say that I was leaving Alliance, but I said to Casey, I was like, we're gonna have to start branching out. When I said branching out, I meant like forming better bonds and stuff with the other people, so that, you know, because I thought we were losing Brett. So I was like, we really need to make sure we have these bonds, like, with these people. I was thinking, you know, maybe we need to make a side thing with Bailey, like, da da da. Like, I wasn't ever leaving level six. It was, you know, Tyler found the perfect opportunity whenever I had my little freak out session, because, like, I forgot, I think Bailey told me that. She was like, Tyler wanted you out from the get go. Like, you know, Brett was more valuable to him, which I totally understand, because I would have gone after Tyler. So, you know, because Angela and Casey were my right, like, those were the two that I was going to ride till the death too. So, you know, he was right to get me out over Brett, because I probably would have eventually gone after him. Who knows if it would have been, how early it would have been. It probably would have been later. But, cause, I mean, eventually Brett did try to turn on him. But I don't know. Anyways, I'm just rambling now. But yeah, who knows?
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you again so much. This was so fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, well, I'm sure we'll talk soon. So
yeah, sounds good.
Thank you. Have a good night. And thanks, I will be on the lookout for more tweets from you.
Oh yes, I know. Thank you.